Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
Hello, this is David Lee from Prevent Connect, and I am pleased to have with me Maya Christopher, the Executive Director for the Association for the Treatment of Sexual Abusers. Good afternoon, Maya.
Good afternoon.
And I also have the immediate past president of ATSA, David Prescott. How are you doing, David?
Hi, just great. Thank you.
Great. Well, I'm really pleased to have both of you able to join me today as we're going to be talking about sexual violence prevention. And what we want to do is talk about the work that the Association for the Treatment of Sexual Abusers, ATSA, does around the issues of prevention. So, Maya, can you first describe what ATSA does and who you are?
The Association for the Treatment of Sexual Abusers is an international organization, and we work really to prevent sexual abuse by promoting research and providing education and shared learning and research. And our goal is to do that by understanding how the offenders interact with sex offender management and how we work to help them integrate back into the community. The members of ATSA are anybody in a professional affiliation who is dedicated to preventing sexual abuse. We have corrections workers, attorneys, therapists, lawyers, victim advocates. We are very interested and willing in bringing anybody into our membership who are working to prevent sexual abuse.
David, why don't you describe the background on how ATSA's approached the issue of prevention of sexual violence?
ATSA really grew out of some grants that were awarded by the National Institute for Mental Health back in the late 1970s and early 1980s. And these grants involved setting up research, setting up conferences, and so on. And some of the professionals that were around at the time, once the grant was completed, thought that it would be a good idea to continue for the conference series and whatever kind of exchange of information might be possible. And some of the people that were around at that time, particularly those that worked on these grants, discovered that as they went about the business of trying to study people who were engaging in sexual abuse, the basic mission was to find out who are these people and what are they doing and to whom and so on. It was high-quality research, but the researchers all seemed to share a common reaction, which was to say, realizing what we know now about sexual abusers, we are dedicated to finding some way to engage in prevention. This could be working with juveniles. It could be working to prevent sexual abuse. People who were on the grant, for example, like Jean Abel, have subsequently spent many decades trying to develop the research base and our knowledge to try to find ways to prevent sexual abuse. Another person that was around early at the time was a woman named Jan Hindman, who has been beloved in many worlds of either treating sexual abuse itself or treating sexual abusers, who also came to the conclusion that one of the problems with the field of sexual offender treatment was that all too often we wound up researching certain aspects of sexual abuse that were difficult for people outside of the field to relate to. And she came to the conclusion late in her career that sexual offender treatment providers were basically victim advocates wearing different kinds of costumes, and that we could be difficult to recognize, and sometimes our language was just downright arcane, but that the one bond we all have in common is that we all desperately care about reducing the harm of sexual abuse. That can be difficult sometimes for others to relate to. But like many, many others in the field, I got my start working with those that had survived sexual abuse. With the passage of time, others, like the first president of ATSA, Rob Longo, many folks have gone to work in the juvenile world trying to figure out how can we arrest the problem of sexual abuse before it turns into the kinds of egregious examples that one hears about in the media. But I think one of the most influential people on the scene was a woman named Faye Honey Knopp, who was around before ATSA, who put it the best, saying, if we are ever going to really stop abuse, we have to develop an understanding of the people who actually engage in the abuse. Driven in large part by her Quaker beliefs, she went into prisons trying to understand who these people were and finding out in many ways the lines between those who abuse and the rest of us are perhaps thinner than many people understood at the time. And so those are some of the original attempts, but the trend throughout the past has been once people realize the full extent of the problem of sexual abuse, there's a real push to figure out how can we move upstream to engage in whatever prevention efforts are possible.
You know, it's really interesting to me as we think about how we can be able to work to prevent sexual violence and sexual abuse. And then I think that one of the things I really respect about ATSA is it's a careful attention to the research of understanding sexual abusers. And that how do you see that research being able to help inform the development and implementation of prevention efforts?
I think that understanding what kinds of factors might place somebody who's been sexually abusive in the past, that understanding the factors that might elevate that risk for future offenses can inform our public policy. It can teach us about what kinds of environments should we be on the lookout for. If we think that sexual harm is imminent, what kinds of things can people do, including, of course, the potential offender himself. I think that the more we understand the psychological factors that contribute to abuse, the more we can be on the lookout for them should they start to occur, or we might be able to live our lives in a way that would make some of these factors less likely.
I also think that it's important that we understand that people have done their work well in terms of educating our communities about sexual abuse, and that certainly ATSA gets a lot of phone calls from mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and people who are concerned about the behavior of people that they see in their families, but they don't have a lot of recourse, and they're looking for knowledge, and they're looking for the research, and they're looking for understanding of what they can do to intervene. And that when we can provide knowledge that is not just punishment or prison-oriented, people are willing to step up to do what it takes to change what they see. And if we can't provide them with that knowledge, we leave them with nothing. And so our main source of power, if you will, to prevent sexual abuse is lost if the people who are facing it don't have any recourse.
You know, and as someone who is very active in prevention, one of the things that I think that our work is about a transformation of our culture. And that transformation really can be well informed by the knowledge, as both of you have described, about how not just the psychological, as David talked about, but also some of the more sociological and cultural and community level factors that we can be able to understand what's the context of perpetration so we can be able to not just prevent people from being victims, but also prevent people from committing these offenses in the first place.
Our upcoming conference, our theme is transformation. And I think that is a lot of what anybody who works in this field of sexual abuse is trying to do. We are working to transform the lives of the people who perpetrate, but we're also working to transform the knowledge base in our field, the very systems that we work within, the policies that we work under, and the safeties and the wellness of the communities that we work in.
You talked about the conference that's going to be the 29th annual ATSA conference that's going to be held in Phoenix, Arizona, October 2010. Can you describe how you'll be including prevention elements at this conference?
I think the Association for Treatment of Sexual Abusers, or ATSA, has always been focused on prevention in a slightly different way. So this year, we're trying to bring prevention more to the forefront and create a unifying language that will all let us recognize that we're working towards the same goal. So we have plenary speakers that are focusing on the etiology of sexual abuse, and how our understanding of what factors combine to create the risk of somebody committing a sexual offense can translate into prevention strategies. We have speakers focusing on looking at culturally specific and individual strategies to work with different people who may be at risk of sexually abusing. We have speakers focusing on looking at teaching healthy sexuality to our children and our adults. We have speakers that are focusing on how our technology is impacting our understanding of sexual abuse and how we need to understand how technology can change how children look at sexuality. And before we create a next generation of people that we call sexual offenders, we can find a better way of understanding that and work outside of the penal system to manage our children and help them lead happy, healthy lives. I think it's important to recognize that David and I have both worked in the treatment of a sexual abuser field and have both tried to really incorporate people who work in the sexual violence prevention field into our practices and with our clients. I think that one of the most important things to remember is that we're all working towards the same goal and that with our combined resources and understanding and knowledge, we can have a real impact. Please feel free to contact anybody in your community that's working sexual abuse prevention and join our voices.
In the work that I have done with the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, we have been very active in ATSA and also in our California Association, really seeing the importance of integrating this, not being both the victim advocacy voice and the issues of prevention to the forefront, and really applaud ATSA for its commitment to proceeding with this. Any last pieces did either of you, David or Maya, want to share about how people who are interested in sexual violence prevention can be able to join the efforts with ATSA?
I think it's as simple as get to know us, visit our website, certainly come to our conference. We are all interested in engaging in whatever dialogues are possible.
And I do want to let people know that ATSA's website is www.ATSA.com. So I would encourage people to visit and also, if you're able to join their 29th annual conference that will be held in October 2010 in Phoenix, Arizona. So I'd like to thank you both for joining us this afternoon and look forward to learning more about what ATSA will be doing around the prevention of sexual violence in the future.
Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission or to show your support, visit calcasa.org. That's CalCASA.org.